Hello and welcome to 3 and 2, the podcast where my co-host Rich is making eyes at me every time I start the episode.
It's just my face.
With me tonight is Rich, the face nutter.
Hello, how's it going?
And Laura Bates. Hello.
So, sure you don't want to do your chess clock bit again, Matty?
Yeah, that was fucking awful. Chess clock. Use them or don't.
We'll never know what it's like to need to use a chess clock on the top table, so
no.
I think it's okay.
Turns out if you get smashed off in like 25 minutes, it's fine. You don't need a chess clock.
Yeah, indeed.
So we're sort of getting out an emergency pre-Brotherhood episode, so we'll get on with a bit of hobby. Rich has been to a one-day tournament, which he can regale us with, and then we'll slide into a completely unrelated Rich is changing his army completely for Brotherhood segment. Completely unrelated. So, Laura, what hobby have you been getting up to since last episode?
So I think when we recorded the last episode, I was painting Kragnos. So I finished Kragnos. So he's done and ready to stomp things at Brotherhood. And then I have been painting the Warhammer Underworlds warbands from the new Nethermaze starter box. So there's a Skaven warband and there's a Elf warband. So I painted both of them.
Yeah,
pretty happy with them.
They're looking very good.
Thank you.
The Skaven warband is lovely, and I wish I could get it without having to buy a load of Warhammer Underworlds cardboard.
Well, they might eventually.
Yeah,
eventually is the operative word.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, they are really cool models, though both warbands are quite fragile, and I broke about 4 things in the process of building and painting them, so they're now mostly made of superglue.
I feel like this is becoming an increasing problem with modern Warhammer sculpts. I've broken lots of things recently. Just need to go back to ogres, where nothing is smaller than like 5 mil across.
Lumineth are kind of legendary for their fragility, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very cool. What have you been up to?
I'm just scrolling through pictures to remind myself. I've painted a few things. I painted an Umbral Spell Portal.
Nice.
The Malign Sorcery Classic. I wanted something for Teclis to throw spells through that actually matched the basing and colours of my army. So I painted a second one of those. I also painted a unit champion for my second unit of Venari Wardens for Lumineth. I'm staring at him on the shelf behind my computer screen right now. I have one big block of 20, and I was thinking of running a list where I needed 2 blocks of 10, and so I had to source and build an extra champion. I think he came out quite well. Managed to match the scheme despite not having painted any for probably the best part of 9 months to a year. So
that's always the fear, isn't it? Staring, squinting at an old model, thinking, how on earth did I do this?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like there was something else as well.
A particular spooky ghost?
Yeah, I've started and nearly finished painting Lady Alinda for Nighthaunt, one of the few Nighthaunt models that did not already have painted. So we'll talk more about her later, I think. And I've also painted one Namati Reaver as a test model for a future project.
Yeah, you're cramping my style here, Rich.
I know. It's very different, Namati Reaver, to your style.
Completely different.
Too many elves on this podcast.
Look, well, this is an elf-positive podcast, Laura. You've got to accept it.
I mean, even I've painted elves. It's terrible.
It's good. Feel the elf flow through you.
Yeah.
It's all right. I've just bought a Magma Droth. I'm going to make up for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that your third?
Yes. Yeah, it will be.
Is that its bold new price point?
Fortunately, I have bought it off a pal who is charging me significantly less.
Good.
Nice. Okay, that's not so bad.
How
about you, Matthew? What have you been?
I'll speed through mine. I have painted an Isharan Soul Render, and that's it. I sort of started, I'm like part way through a unit of Namati Reavers myself as well. But they've sort of been taken off the list I'm taking in a couple of weeks, so my desire to paint then has evaporated into the wind.
Yeah, you need the motivation, right, of knowing that they're going to see a table in a couple of weeks' time.
Exactly. So they've stalled out on them, but I got the soil render done, and it's nice kit. Nice little elf hero.
It looks really good.
Mm-hmm. So, we mentioned earlier, as we rattle through Speed Hobby, I'd say we haven't done much, but like you both have painted loads.
Just judge us all by your achievements.
Yeah, I'll tie you all with my brush.
But that's the joy, right, of having a fully done army, is that you only need to add a little thing to it occasionally. So
yeah.
You know.
I say,
just reaping the rewards of 3 years of effort here.
Yeah, I could have an aspect of the sea, though, you know, but no. So, Rich, you went to a cheeky one day.
I did. I went to back to my roots, a little one day club AOS tournament. This one at a social club in Nuneaton. Run sort of jointly by Pro2 Tabletop, who streams some games and sort of put up some AOS content. Pro2 Tabletop is actually my friend Andy from work. That's how I knew about the tournament. And sort of run in the club used by, and I just need to make sure that I get this acronym right, so please bear with me. Run by the Nuneaton War Acolytes, who do shorten their name to NWA.
God.
Which gave me a chuckle, but they were all very lovely people. So, like, they play in, like, the back room of a, like, old sort of classic West Midlands working men's club. But they've got, I think the guy that runs it, Paul, has, like, 15 tables worth of terrain and mats and stuff that he's just collected over like a long wargaming career, and all set up really nicely. Got there and was offered breakfast. They had like pastries and orange juice and thing, and some.
Now that is
and lunch good. Was all catered by, again, I think like trays of sandwiches and cakes and stuff from the supermarket, big box of crisps. It had a bar, which is always good. I was a bit, I suppose, raised my eyebrow a bit at the idea that I was going to a Warhammer tournament in a dingy club, but it was actually a really good venue. So
that's good.
Fair enough. I took Lumineth Realm Lords in preparation for some practice games for Brotherhood.
Mm.
And, you know, just because I suppose they're my going concern at the moment for the most part. So took a classic me list of like, here's a load of stuff that that doesn't really go together. So it's classic Sayar, Teclis, Cathalar, big block of wardens, mm-hmm. and then diverge from any semblance of a sensible list by being a small block of sentinels, a ballista, stone guard, and 5 blade lords, and the spell portal. Because it's kind of like the what I have painted that all fits together, kind of. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, it didn't go very well from a gameplay point of view, but but it was fun. Do you want game reports? Do you want
to give us your? I guess we don't need a blow by blow of each one.
I won't remember.
But if you've got any, like, you know, your standout moments, your thoughts on how extremely bad Blade Lords are.
I might actually start using them to bodyguard the Cathalar, because I think their damage output, unless you happen to be playing like Skaven or like a very dryad heavy Sylvaneth list or something that's got locked 25mm bases, that means they're gonna get like 8 attacks each. They're just not worth it, like,
yeah,
especially in a unit of 5.
They're a classic case of when the scroll got revealed, the internet lost its mind because they auto-hit and they've got good rend. But the one attack each.
Yeah,
unless you're doing the sweeping blows or whatever it's called.
And then they don't auto hit.
Yeah.
If they're doing sweeping blows, so
just makes the damage really deeply limited.
Yes. Yeah, deeply limited, I think, is a good two-word summing up of Blade Lords. They're beautiful models. They're really, really reminiscent of the old High Elf Swordmasters, so yeah. I absolutely adore them. I can't promise that I won't buy more and maybe make a big unit of 10 and still try to make them work.
Well, if the rumors are true that there's a new book coming, they might get really good.
Yeah, it's entirely feasible. I'm quite looking forward to seeing what might change if there's a new book. Stone Guard kind of fulfills a similar role of being 10 wounds across 5 models that don't do a lot, but at least in some sub-factions, they're quite good. They have an allegiance ability that affects them more significantly and things. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I will run through the games quickly, yes. My first game is against a very nice guy called James.
You're really confident about that name.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names at the best of times. I am almost certain it was James. Tell you what, pause, please.
I'm pausing.
So it's against a lovely guy called James playing Stormcast. He was running Hammers of Sigmar Stormkeep army. I really like this army. It absolutely annihilated me, but in, Lumineth squishy. So it was Bastion, Indrasta, the Celestant Prime, and a Relictor with the teleport spell, obviously, and a Mirror Shield, obviously. And then 7 units of Vindictors.
I love it.
That was the whole list.
When the Stormcast book came out, this is the kind of army I wanted to see on the table. Not dragons. This is a cool army.
Not 9 dragons. Or however many an army is. There was someone there with a lot of dragons. But I think he got taken down by a Magickin player. So
I was, nice.
Pumping my fist secretly. So the army was really... seemed really good. It was, is it Savage Gains, I think? Where you've got one sort of like on the border of your each of your territories and then 2 in the middle. I'm pretty sure it was Savage Gains. We've talked a bit recently about me taking first turn versus not taking first turn and how, with the Lumineth, I've been very keen to be one drop with a battle regiment so that I can always have that decision. Because against anything that I think can reach me, like, I need to go first, even at the risk of the double, and get, like, the ward bubble off and maybe some damage on some key pieces.
Mm-hmm.
This time I actually opted to go second because, you know, Vindictors aren't fast. And so, although I don't know, I was taking some risk, I thought it'll be, you know, it'll be okay. And actually... the chance of like 2 turns worth of getting to double and return and getting 2 turns worth of shooting and comet and things off is maybe worth it. So he sort of moved everything up a bit, teleported 1 unit of Vindictors sort of up towards my sentinels and did actually get a charge off on them. Maybe that was on turn 2, but he got close on that side. The things I had negated were Indrasta's got a shooting attack with her spear, which is quite beefy. So she shot off the ballista before I ever got to do anything in turn 1. And Bastion also has his mortal wound lightning strike. So he rolled his 16 dice for Teclis in his hero phase and rolled 6 sixes. So there's 6 mortal wounds for Teclis before he's ever done anything. Which, you know, is chance. And even so, I don't think it was the wrong decision still. But I, ultimately, like, the ultimate outcome of this game is I just couldn't chew through the army. Like, I'd kill a I did take off a couple of units of Vindictors. One of those completely negated by the command, the once per game ability thing that lets them replace a unit. As it dies, which is quite irritating. And otherwise, with like AoE spells and things, I was chipping units down a model or 2 every turn. And Indrasta can just put 1 back in every unit she's in range of, which is wild. So I think it's a really good army. James ended up coming like fourth or fifth, I think. So he did pretty well with it.
Yeah. It's an interesting version of it because you quite often see that archetype maybe, I mean, as often as you see that archetype, but with Gardas, right, for the 5+ war bubble.
So. Yes, yeah, and take them as...
Or some annihilators instead of the all vindictors, maybe.
Yeah, I think it feels kind of viable with both, right? Because you can have it as the Stormkeep and sit back, or you can have it as the other one.
Scions of the Storm.
Scions of the Storm, thank you. And then you're like doing mortal wounds. Every time you act. The ability to potentially do mortals when they die is incredible as well. Especially when you've got 35 bodies of just spear-wielding idiots on the board. Like,
does it make you feel...
like that adds up to a lot.
It make you feel bad about Blessed Sons?
No, not really. Like, obviously they're not as good, but... yeah, that's pretty wild. But it was a fun game. It was we were on table one.
Nice.
And I said, I don't think I'll be staying here. So then my second game, yeah, I guess that was it. I think that was nothing else of note happened in that
just
game.
Just got slowly rolled up.
Yeah, basically. But it was fun. I had no complaints. Game two after lunch was against a chap called Scott, who, as it transpires, works at the same place as me. because there's about a 50% chance if you live in the Midlands that you work at the same place as me, I think. So that's cool. You work Warhammer Pal. He was very nice. He was playing an Eidneth list, which I initially looked at and thought, I thought it was maybe, obviously Eidneth are in a good place at the moment, but I thought it was maybe kind of like on a par with my list of being like, oh, a bit of everything that's cool, like, which it is, because almost everything in Eidneth's cool.
Yes, yeah, so
and then it
Eidneth book's probably the most internally balanced book in the game.
Everything seems viable. There.
So even taking stuff that looks off meta or a bit grab bag probably still works out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's the worst thing in a book for a couple of turns, it's fighting before everything else, right? So, which is really good.
Look, you're playing Lumineth. So you can't complain that other armies get to do cool things.
Yeah, I did have the startling realization during the first game of the day that for like my previous three practice games, I had forgotten that Lumineth fight two things in a row.
I saw so, you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I'm not going to take you to task over this, Laura, but like I just don't. Lumineth aren't in that place anymore at all, really.
I know they're not, and I know your Lumineth army is not a top meta Lumineth army, but they still do all the things, just not as effectively as they used to.
They're still very capable of delivering a negative play experience, I think, to an unsuspecting opponent. But I think against a suspecting opponent, they have lost so much potential these days. But hey,
you
like,
still have Goading Arrogance. And as long as you have Goading Arrogance, I'm just going to hate Lumineth.
Yeah, like it's good to make your opponent spend their command points twice as frugally whilst they absolutely destroy you, I guess. So no, I think, yeah, they have some things that need toning down, some other things that just need toning up a little bit, or probably not even toning up, but just like changing a little bit for the AOS3 landscape. And I think they'll be back to like, I just like, they only need to be a solid B tier army. And I think probably in the hands of almost anyone but me, they actually still are. So, yeah, Scott's Eidneth army was like a Soul Render, a Big Turtle, three sharks in the like the special sub faction. I can never remember what it's called. The
Fuitan.
Yeah,
Bloodthirsty Shiver.
Bloodthirsty Shiver. That's it. Thank you.
So that's weird. So it's three individual sharks, and if they are close to each other when they fight, one of them gets exploding sixes on its attacks.
Yes, and you can change which one it is every.
Yes. Yeah, turn, you pick.
Yeah. Seemed good. The sharks, as it happened, didn't really stay together, but it's a good thing to have anyway. Mm. And then your classic, I think, 2 units of thralls, 1 unit of reavers, maybe 2 units of reavers, and 2 units of allied Lumineth sentinels.
That's
the Eidneth army I was playing had more sentinels than me. I actually I went first, and we were playing Survival of the Fittest, where you pick predators. It didn't really have any impact, but it's quite a good sort of staggered diagonal deployment as well. So you're really kind of in the thick of it quite quickly. And in turn one, I got big mold wound bomb off. I did a bit of effective shooting, even with having to target the closest thing, and then some good targeted like bravery debuffs and battle shock passes from the Cathalar. I feel like I took a lot of stuff off of him on turn one. And then his turn one in return was not unimpactful, but like just
fine. Shooting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had reversed the tides. So turn two was his fight first turn. And I think he won double. So he went into turn two and fought first. And then it went into my turn two. And he fought first. And then I basically had nothing left. So I think we called it sort of mid-turn three and just worked out about tactic and scoring and stuff. But yeah, it kind of demolished me. But it was very nice. We had a good chat as we were playing.
That way,
We finished with like probably an hour still on the clock. So we like had a drink and a chat, and it was all good. And then game three was... I want to say Feral Foray. Go burn 3 on each side, and you can burn the ones on the opposite side. This was versus Martin, who was running a big war. I don't think Martin's very experienced with Iron Big War. I think it was his first time playing it that weekend, or close to his first time playing it at least.
Semi-complicated faction, isn't it? Like, we've got quite a lot going on under the hood.
A lot of counting.
So, famously big counters.
Yeah, I found it quite mentally draining because I felt like I was having to look up rules for his stuff a lot as well to make sure I was understanding his understanding of it and my understanding of it correctly, because it's all stuff I played against before, but the interactions and things, like he didn't really engage with the Big War Allegiance abilities or anything. But you know, to his credit, he's super enthusiastic about Warhammer, like clearly someone who's really excited to be there playing games. And we did have a lot of fun. Like, you know, we're both there at the bottom tables. So neither of us there like cruising for a win. So it devolved in like turn two, turn three into like, let's just make Teclis and the Maw Crusher fight, which very much went the Maw Crusher's way, having already
one winner of that particular
country. So it was another loss for me, but you know, Martin was a fun opponent, and yeah, so ending the game on a big old 0-3.
Nice.
So I did receive the coveted wooden spoon award, but I did also receive the most sporting vote, which was really nice. I was the only person to receive 3 votes, they said. So all my opponents thought I was their favorite game, which is, you know, actually way better than winning games, is people thinking they've had a nice time with you, in my opinion. And that is very much the energy I'm going into Brotherhood with. So I'm sorry now. You're not getting any wins towards your score. Might try and drag up the team sporting vote a bit.
Right. It's time for a training montage, I think. Whip you into shape.
So yeah, it was really fun. I think there were about, I think it was 28 people. It was great. Oh, the tickets were like £20 plus a bit of an early bird discount. So for like a 3-game event with plenty of space, terrain, mats,
food,
and food, like well-provisioned food as well, felt really fair and happy to pay it again. I actually got a free ticket as the wooden spoon prize. So I don't have to pay it again if I go back to another one.
Yeah, I think Andy's got that.
I think Andy's got aspirations of running them maybe sort of every 3 or 4 months. So I will definitely try and go back for the next one. The other cool thing they were doing was they had spot prizes, which is something I've seen creep into a few packs, like especially one day like event packs recently. So at the start of each round, they said, like, there's a spot prize for the first person to achieve X thing this round. So in round one, it was kill your opponent's general. In round two, it was roll a double one to charge. and in round three, it was roll a double one to miscast.
Nice.
First person to do that in each round got a little prize, which were like sort of £20 models, like the... I think one of them was like that Ogroid Myrmidon.
Yeah.
One was a box of spirit hosts, and I think the other one was an army painter start painting set, which, you know, they're all like decent value prizes. And the positional sort of first, second, third winners also got like each got like a Warhammer prize as well as a trophy. Blimey. So it was really well organized.
And it's good for a £20 ticket. Although I do feel sorry for this person who has to build 3 spirit hosts.
Yeah, that's something I never want to do again, even though I feel like maybe I should have some more.
I have
so,
9.
Yeah, there you go, tournament report. Yeah. You've got 9.
Yeah.
You're an absolute madman.
They're the worst kit I've ever built.
Yeah. Have either of you played any games?
Only Brotherhood practice games, I think, which maybe we can talk about a bit if we get to list planning. I was meant to go to an event at Warhammer World, but I got COVID, so I couldn't go, which I was extremely disappointed about.
Oh, that sucks. That looked like a really good event from some of the pictures and tweets and stuff, so not to dwell on it.
I was going to take my nice dwarf army and have fun losing lots of games with them, but maybe there'll be another one.
Yeah, there'll always be more.
Hopefully. One more before Cities of Sigmar enters the dustbin of history.
It's got to be an event I can take them to, and it's going to be like a year before that happens. I'm going to take them to an event at some point.
Take them to Brotherhood.
No, you
I think
literally
Matthew
can't.
Might kill me.
No, the submissions are in now. You're locked in. That's it. We're done.
Yeah, we just have 30 Iron Drakes, which is not bad, but then the rest of the army is awful. So it's 30 Iron Drakes and a load of rubbish at London.
What could go wrong? 30 Iron Drakes plus some people to stand in front of them while they shoot.
You need to be losing games to roleplay the Book of Grudges, right? So,
what nearly always happens is I use a Living City reserves ability to bring the Iron Drakes on from the side of the board. They shoot something and utterly obliterate it, and then I realise they're half a board away from everything else and they move 4 inches. So then they do nothing else and it all goes horribly wrong. That's how that army works.
Oh, dear. Yeah, what you want to be doing is bringing on fulminators with that ability.
Yeah, you do a really thematic strike and fade away. Yeah.
Duffy
needs to do that to get him somewhere near the combat so that he can run in and then roll 3 ones and achieve nothing.
Sounds about right.
But he's getting a new scroll that might be a little bit better, so maybe he will do things then. So.
You've not seen the new scroll then?
It's marginally better.
It's marginally better. It's still the thing I hate about Durthu is still there, though.
He degrades a lot slower.
His degrade is, his degrade is slower, but after his
3 wounds, and I think on the new scroll, he has to take 7, maybe. So it's a significant
improvement.
It's
quite a lot better.
Yeah. It's still the big drop from 6 to D6, though, right, on the damages.
I'm sure he's still going to be extremely disappointing, but I just assume that's going to happen now.
Yeah,
fair enough.
You've already trained yourself to expect that, so it's fine. So we should talk about Brotherhood, I suppose.
We should. We should probably talk about what it is, because I don't think we've talked about it on the pod in depth before.
No.
Or if we have, then we're about to retread some ground, which is exciting.
I feel like the odds of that with only 2 episodes under the belt are not too great, so...
So it's a team tournament that we're going to. And first weekend of June, I think, he says.
Yes.
In lovely, expensive Cardiff. 6 players on the team. And I won't go super into depth into how Team Warhammer works, but essentially you do not have 12 players around a table pushing models around, because that way would lie madness. You instead rock up against another team and use a semi-complicated pairing system to decide matchups between who plays who in a singles game within that. And then the results of those single games are fed into a scoring matrix, and there is a overall winner, team winner for that round, with a sort of minimum and maximum cap, because otherwise the scores can start running away from you very, very quickly, especially if you're doing badly. And not that we'd have any experience of that, of course.
No, no idea what it feels like to be capped.
So yeah, this is the second year we're going. It's sort of the post-COVID one, which I think, unfortunately for the TO, means the event has been absolutely not crippled, but really battered with dropouts. I think originally, when we tried to get in, we couldn't even get a ticket because it was sold out, right? We had like 24 yeah. sign-ups in the first hour or whatever.
Yeah,
I think we're down to 11 teams now. So it's been a pretty, pretty big...
So, yeah, that's gone from like 150 to like 60, 66 players, right?
Yeah.
That's a crazy drop off.
Which, similar to his blackout event he ran that we went to in November, right?
That went down to 40-ish?
Yeah, lost a lot of players from about 100. So, which is a shame.
The cost of accommodation has got to be part of it. Like, I don't know why the Jubilee weekend is so expensive in the capital of Wales, but it really is. So
Cardiff is always really expensive to stay in as well, which doesn't.
Yes, it doesn't.
Firestorm is a really lovely venue, so, and it's close to me, not necessarily to London.
Not too bad for me, but no. Yeah. Spare a thought for Luke travelling from Glasgow.
Yeah, he's a brave soul, I think. So, there's a few sort of restrictions on the way these team events work. So very specifically, there's no duplication between players of faction, war scroll, artifacts, or enhancements generally, as they are now in AOS 3. And then I think grand strategies as well, limited to only being able to take them once per team. So that, and battalions, the core battalions, which changes things up quite a lot from the kind of armies that
you take those twice?
You can take those twice per team, yeah. So that obviously changes up your list building fairly fundamentally, because there are so many armies in AOS that want low drop that now can't get it. So it does, I think, make things more interesting from a list building perspective, because, you know, you do have that give and take between who gets what, who's fighting for Hunters in the Hunt, basically. But, yeah, so we've spent the last few months prevaricating over our various army lists, which has all really come to a head in the last... I feel like we all felt really locked in for weeks and weeks and weeks, and in the last 48 hours, it's gone haywire.
And yes.
There's been a lot of... chopping and changing, probably not helped by two new battle themes dropping. But I guess if we go to Laura, how have you felt picking an army for this event?
So I think I might be the person who's done the least chopping and changing, because I was always really going to take Gargants in some form. They're the army I've played the most in AOS 3, and while they're not anything like as sort of strong in the meta as they were at the start of AOS 3, they're still pretty solidly fine, I think, especially on a, you know, it's a good army to have on a team for a team event. The only other thing I really considered taking was Ossiarch Bone Reapers, but I think I am too worried with them about whether I'm going to get a game in the time allowed, because they're just a really grindy army that you have to roll a lot of dice, and I don't think I've had the practice with them to be confident that I can do it without having to look up rules and things that would slow me down. So the main decision I ended up making with my list was whether I was going to take pure Gargants or whether I was going to take Kragnos. And what happened was that I played one game with my friend's Kragnos, and it was really fun. So I bought and painted Kragnos, and now my army is Kragnos, two Mega Gargants, and a Mancrusher Gargant, which will also have the benefit of being very easy to transport. So I'm quite excited.
I am jealous of the low model count army, to be honest.
Yes.
I wish I had committed like 3 years ago, 4 years ago to just doing the like six Stonehorn list for ogres. Because while the thought of painting four more of them is a bit painful now, just having that like super simple, comparatively like turn my brain off type list kind of appeals to me at the moment. There's a different level of thinking that you need to do when you've only got four models on the table, I think. Not to say that it is a brainless endeavor by any means, but
there's fewer decisions to be made, I think it is fair to say.
Fewer but more impactful decisions. Let's be nice about it.
Yeah, maybe. I think the main limitation of my list is that it would just be straight up better if I had a second Gatebreaker Mega Gargant, but I don't. So I'm bringing a Kraken Eater who will just disappoint me constantly, but maybe he'll kick an objective around in a useful way at some point. We'll see.
You do have the biggest triumph bid I've ever seen in Age of Sigmar.
I'm going to be quite disappointed if I don't get a triumph in every game I play, because I think I've got a 95-point triumph bid.
That's pretty wild.
That's really good.
The only thing I could have taken was an Endless Spell, I guess, because one of my Gargants has got the Arcane Tome, and I think they have now FAQ'd it, so you can take an Endless Spell. But realistically, all I'm going to cast is Mystic Shield, so I'd rather have the Triumph bid.
That's fair enough.
Gargants can't ally in things like Gitz, can they? So you can't just take like a Fungoid Shaman or something else small and rubbish.
No, they thought about that.
I've not played a massive amount of games with it, but I've played a lot of games with Gargants. I've only played four or five games with Kragnos, but really, you just point him at monsters and try not to get him killed before he can charge something. So it seems okay.
Yeah, you gave me a good battering, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think my list against your list is just a bad matchup for you, realistically. Yeah,
a lot of my practice games have been into armies where afterwards you've gone, that's a bad matchup for Deepkin, which isn't filling me with a huge amount of confidence. But
it is a good thing to know going into the matchup process, I guess. So,
Well, I think I'm getting lulled into a false sense of security because I've played a lot of practice games against teammates who have quite melee focused armies. And what is going to happen at some point is I'm going to play someone who can just shoot Kragnos turn one and he will die. And then I'm going to be quite sad. So I need to mentally prepare myself for that.
Mentally prepare for Seraphon.
I'd quite like not to play Seraphon, please.
Everyone on the team is saying they'd like not to play Seraphon.
No one wants to play Seraphon. Seraphon, the secret worst play experience for like the fourth year running.
Yeah, exactly. How do they keep getting away with it? His daughters are Cain
Syndrome.
Yeah.
How about your list?
You're Matthew? Happy.
Yeah, I guess. So I'm taking Ivan Matthewkin. That's the army I've been playing with for a little while now, I guess, since before the new book came out. But I've gotten in quite a few games with the new book for me. So my army's sort of unusual because no one else on the internet appears to be taking Morsar Guard anymore, and I have 12 of them. So that's, I guess, the major point of difference between me and everyone else. Otherwise, I guess it's fairly normal. So I've got an Achillean King, I've got a little Smash King with Unstoppable Fury for just an extreme number of extra attacks into particular board states. Ishran Soulrender, which is a model that can bring your Namatai back to life at the end of the battle shock phase. In testing, this guy has been absolutely rubbish for me. He just does almost nothing in every game he's played. So I'm hoping it gets a bit better in Brotherhood itself. Again, people seem to love him, so I just appear to be living a different Deepkin life to everybody else. But we'll see how he goes.
You need to manifest. It's because you don't believe in him.
It's because I don't believe in the Namatai.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm taking 10 Namatai Reavers, which are the bow ones, and then 2 units of 10 Namatai Thralls, which are the melee ones. Again, Namatai Thralls always disappoint me, always and forever. I'm sure they're good in the new book. I'm sure. But not yet. Haven't worked out yet for me. Reavers are amazing. I was going to say earlier that I was astonished that the Deepkin player you played before was taking allied sentinels. because Reavers are so much better than Sentinels.
Yeah, this is why.
So much better.
Maybe you just
have what he had painted.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, it's they weren't painted.
Okay. It's the two shots apiece coming out of them is like double the shot volume of the Sentinels. It sort of
so much better than their old.
Yeah.
So much better than the old. Was it one or three they used to get?
Yeah.
Like just always two is so much better.
And they were fours and fours before, and they're threes and threes now. And the range is better, and they've got rend. They're just ridiculous now. And, you know, like being able to run and shoot them, and they move eight. You can stick them in a boat for a five-up ward.
Yeah.
They have a naturally built-in plus one to hit within 9 inches rule. So unleash hell normally. Like, yeah, they're extremely good. And I probably should be taking more, but I'm not because I don't have that many. Really. And then, like I said before, I'm taking 12 Mortal Guard. That's in two units of six. This is partly because I just want to play with my eel. I have so many painted. I can't not use them. But they are still good. The internet's wrong. Yeah. Point for point, they hit harder than anything else in the book. I think I said this last time. I still believe that. And they have been doing, of my list, they are the thing that are doing the work for me, I think. You know, I can't remember if they killed, did they kill the Gatebreaker in a turn when we played?
I think, did you leave him on one wound? I feel like that happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they left him, yeah.
That's still quite a lot of damage.
Yeah, and then the last game I played, they killed a Magath Lord and the Splithorn Helm guy on the fly in a round. So they can do the biz. Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
The issue I've been having with them is they do the business and they're hideously overexposed. So,
yeah.
That's the learning point for me. And then
have you got yourself some triangular movement trays for them so that you can have them in the right formation?
No, I'm going to have to practice that. I've been getting too used to TTS. But alongside that, I have a unit of two Achillean Alapexes with the harpoons. These are the Dacker Sharks. They're good. They're very good. They're much easier to use than the eels, so I understand why everyone uses them. So they just do a bit of everything, you know. They shoot well, they fight well, they're fast, they're quite tough. This is all around very solid unit. And then three allied ether wings because I had some spare points and nothing else fit. They'll sit on objectives. They're fine. Also, what they can do, very importantly, is in a game versus a gun line, they can stand in front of my army and get shot to bits.
Always useful to think about in the current AOS.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, one way Deepkin armies have always sort of abused the Forgotten Nightmares rule. Back in AOS 1, it was using the old High Elf Blade Swordmasters. The old High Elf Swordmasters, who had a reroll saves versus shooting rule. So you stuck them in front of your army and they rerolled their saves and the rest of your army couldn't get shot.
Yeah.
But in this brave new world, it's going to be some Ether seagulls that are getting blown away by whatever they have to stand in front of.
Brave seagulls.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
You who are about to get roasted, we salute you. So that's the army. It's super aggro, but only in certain moments. Like, you can play it very standoffish, and it has the speed to sit back if it needs to. So I do enjoy playing it. Even if sometimes it's deeply frustrating when it just bounces off things and then instantly dies. But that's the way of Age of Sigmar sometimes.
Yeah.
Much more interestingly, what's happened to your Luminephra Omlords army?
Well, Matthew, they've all died and they've all gone to Shai'ish and now they're ghosts.
Oh.
So I've been quite keen to play with the new Nighthaunt Battle Tome, but kind of because of a couple of upcoming events, resigned myself to it not happening until later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it a couple of days ago. We were talking in our prep chat, and for the list I was thinking of running for Brotherhood and my Lumineth, I'd committed to needing to paint about 20 models to make it more of a sensible list than what I have been running. And it wasn't sparking joy, and I was finding it hard to pick up the paintbrush. And yeah, a bit of soul searching, and just decided to pivot to Nighthorn one day before the list submission deadline without having played any games with them. So,
yeah. Or particularly mentioned it before. I think you just one day posted a list of Nighthorn in the chat.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like frame this as about 2 or 3 months ago. I said, actually, I don't think I'm going to come to Brotherhood, and maybe we've been on rocky ground for a while. So I've just, you know, I think it's a smaller affair than I was expecting it to be. There's quite a few people I know going still, though. And yeah, I'm just going to go have fun. Looking forward to my ghosts actually potentially doing something. So this all starts with the my first big tournament back in 2019. Possibly like the second or third time I met you as well, Matthew.
Yeah, this was LGT, right?
We went to LGT back when the AOS was a singles event.
I think all three of us were there, actually, weren't we?
You were doing Necromunda.
I played Necromunda rather than Age of Sigma. I was there.
I was taking Nighthorn, and I committed to that because it was the only AOS army I really had. I decided that Blade Geist Revenants were good, and I took 40 Blade Geist Remnants, and they have pretty much sat in a box ever since. I've used Nighthorn in quite a few games since, but they've sat around over lockdown. I painted the Black Coach and a few other things. Also, sort of sat, never had a game with it. And then I've got a few bits still sat in the cupboard that were like the late stuff from the Mortal Realms magazine, like Kurdos and Lady Alinda. Yeah, just flicking through the new book and notice there's the Scarlet Doom subfaction, which lets your Blade Geist Revenants be battle line and do, you know, have a mortal wound chance.
They're also substantially cheaper, which is unusual for AOS 3.
Yeah, they're 175 points for 10 now, I think. And they down were 190. Yeah. They're not as good as they were. 40. Yeah, they're not as good as they were pre. When did they last have an update? Was it Bellacor?
Blade Geist Revenants, all they've lost in the transition to the new book is they had an ability whereby they got rerolls to hit if they were near a spirit taunt.
Yes, and they that's changed to be better, right? So
that's gone completely from their scroll. They just don't have that. But the spirit torment itself is better.
Yes, so, that's it. It just returns models now. Yeah. As you can see, I'm really familiar with the book. the one downside they have from back when I was first running them is they're no longer 2-inch reach.
They were never 2-inch reach.
They're now minimum unit of 10. That's
They were fives before.
Yeah. There's a bit of inefficiency potentially going on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, four units of those.
You can fit it in. You can fit them in. You have to. Yeah, as a man who spent a lot of time thinking big, mad thoughts about cohesion, you can fit them in.
I have done barely any thinking about cohesion. So I sort of read some reviews and looked at a few thoughts and sort of dragged a list together around that. So I'm going to take a Guardian of Souls to try and get some efficiency into the units, bring some back with the artifact, the Light Shard of the Harvest Moon, which I think is like once per game, bring more back as well. I've got the Khorgas Cruciator, the newish hero. It's not that new anymore, but who is now good instead of bad. So
star of last episode, Khorgas Cruciator, who absolutely piss when I used him, but is really good now, I think.
Yes, way easier to obtain that buff and a bit more impactful as well.
Previously, he had to shoot to activate extra ward buff. The extra ward buff is now built into your Allegiance abilities as a command ability. And his ability now, he doesn't have to shoot. He just needs to be near a unit that's in combat with another unit, which is much easier to achieve because it's all positional. And his buff is minus one damage, which is outrageous on top of a 4-up unrendable save and a 5-up ward you can have in that situation. So
yes.
It's only 10 wounds on a Blade Geist Revenant, but that's a lot of stacking damage reduction.
Slot stacking. I've also got Lady Alinda in there. So once per game, she can return a lot of stuff across the board. And she's got some decent mortal output as well. And her Quilgas Cruciator, Guardian of Souls. And I put Rykonor in there just for some mobile mortal wound stuff as well. Yeah, I think Wraithstorm, Wraithstorm is a little bit better than it used to be. I think
he would also happily go and chop up an enemy wizard in combat, slice him to ribbons. He'll do really well at that.
Yeah, he's a little bit more reliable than he used to be. Mm-hmm. And then three spirit host to bodyguard either Alinda or the Cruciator. What else do I have? The black coach. That's the other thing.
Just a little casual black coach.
Yes, which now looks good. Is another potentially good source of damage output and some mortals. Building that list was the way I learnt that the black coach has two different weapon options.
Yeah.
And I did not care to look at mine to find out if that's actually the one it's built with before selecting the 12 attack gun. I don't think anyone previously knew that it had options, to be honest.
Yeah, it did. It did before.
No, yeah, but not you, because you own like 15 million points of death, but like normal people. I don't think anyone will care.
Black Coach is an interesting one. The 3D3 Mortal Wound gun is going to... People are going to be happy about that, I think.
I like the way it can, like, sort of probably from turn two onwards, you're probably firing off your powered up state and then getting it back again. So
yeah, I mean, you can activate it with Lady Alinda, right? With her Mortal Wound output as well. Yeah. So you can potentially be stacking a lot of ranged mortal wound output onto a target.
Yeah. I'm quite excited to play with it. I think if I had to preempt a weakness, it's that it feels like a list that probably basically wants to be in one big blob in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with like Alinda on one flank and the coach on the other flank. So it might not do so well against scenarios that are like spread objectives. But the counterpoint to that is that with the ability to drop some stuff into the underworlds at the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It does have some counterplay. I just don't have like big units of Chain Rasp to rely on being in the way for two turns. So.
Yeah. I think what you might find in play is that having army-wide retreat and charge is wild.
That seems so good.
On units that move 8 and fly as well.
Yeah.
That opens up so much positional play.
Yeah, just retreating away and charging off onto a backfield objective even seems really good. So
yeah, I think it's really exciting, really techie book. I think hopefully it'll be really fun in play. I hope. I'm glad you're more excited about coming now to start off with. But it looks like you might be having more fun.
And I've nearly finished painting the one model I need to paint for this list, which is Lady Alinda. So. Mm-hmm. That feels like a better place to be in than having 21 models sat in front of me.
You got 21 models.
I do still need to paint those Lumineth, or some of them at least, because I'm going to narrative event Whitney Warhammer the weekend after Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I've worked out a list now, and I think I only need to paint two things. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Cool.
I guess. Do we want to cover like what else we have coming with us?
Yeah, I think so. So, we've got friend of the pod, Chris. He's joining us with his Daughters of Cain army, which is a classic surprise. I've painted a whole army. Here's a picture of the whole army job during lockdown, which is always fun when someone does that. This is Marathi and the Melee Snake, which is...
they're so good.
They're absolutely... I watched that game and I think I said whoever wrote that scroll belongs in jail. I think people are annoyed about Marathi and the Bow Snakes from the old book, but man, Blood Sisters are obscene. There is the obvious downside is that unit is 420 points and it will die to a stiff breeze. So
yeah,
I think there are some matchups where they get shot off real quick.
Yeah. But what is it? 30 wounds with a 5-up save and a 6-up ward. So
yeah. Yeah.
Rallied about 4+, so right. So
yeah, you can. That's a bit sad, but stupid snakes.
It's fine. Who else is on the team? Someone else?
We've got Luke.
Mm-hmm.
What's he bringing? Maggotkin.
Is there anything to say interesting about Maggotton? You are a Maggotton player, Rich.
They're good. I think they are good into the majority of matchups because, oh boy, it's going to take you five turns to get through them. I think they're one of the most fun books to play at the moment from what I've played with, of stuff I've got and sort of watched other people play. I was kind of deeply disappointed from about 6 months ago that Luke had backseat Maggotkin because I haven't taken that army to an event yet. But
why aren't you taking them to Whitney?
Because they're not narrative. What's narrative? They smell.
Like, what's narrative about being an elf?
They don't smell. they'll be good, I think. Yeah, and I think he's got a fairly sort of standard Magoth Lord, Great and Clean One, Flight Kings.
He's not gone full, like, completely smooth brain fly list.
No, I think he has got the Lord of Afflictions with the Split Horn.
Yeah, hell, that's it.
But who's great. But then
it's quite a nice fairy list. It's got different things.
Luke has also been putting in the reps. The man's been playing a lot of Warhammer.
He knows the army pretty well now.
Yeah.
Which is good because I know his criticism of like old Maggotkin was that he found them, they took ages to play. So, he's been practicing a lot, which is, I don't know if that's his intention behind practicing is to play them faster, but he seems like he has a really good grip on the army. So, I think he might be our one to watch actually in terms of like surprise coming out of the event with a 4-1 or something.
Yeah.
Not to talk anyone else down. Like, I expect both of you to do well all the time, but.
Nah, if my practice games are anything to go by, that might not come true.
No.
And then I guess, Laura, you've got the joy of talking about Stormcast Eternals.
So yeah, then we have friend of the pod Michael with his Stormcast, which has zero dragons, but possibly has dragon. Some fulminators. I've slightly lost track of which variant of this army we're on. Sorry, I'm going to get told off now. It doesn't have zero dragons. It has one big dragon, but he's not a Stormdrake guard.
Yes. I was looking at this list the other day. I think it's got some good stuff in it. Like,
you know what? It could be worse.
Has he got four Fulminators and six Long Strikes in it, right?
He does indeed have four Fulminators and six Long Strikes.
That's the greatest hits other than Stormdrake guards.
Yeah, it is. There's definitely a punch in that list, and he managed to blag himself a battle regiment at the last minute, thanks to you dropping Lumen.
Yeah,
which means it is all in a one drop. So.
Laura, do you know what sub-faction and things he's taking?
It's Hammers of Sigmar and Sirens of the Storm. So that's essentially because he needs the battle line Fulminators.
Oh, right. Okay, that makes sense.
Otherwise, he's running some pretty skinny battle line on there.
I did notice that. That's
a solid pick.
Yeah. The Krondis is left field, but
bad, though. Right,
he's not bad, no. But Michael spent an extremely long time painting Krondis, so fair play. You can take him.
Yeah, can't say no to that. It does look very cool.
But we did say no to Krondis and the Stardrake in the same army.
I would be fine with that. Like,
you have to help people help themselves, Rich.
At least he didn't look wistfully at the celestial Dracolines that you told him to paint for the Last Brotherhoods.
we all make mistakes.
Yeah, but your mistakes were with someone else's army.
He could have taken Skaven that year, you know?
True.
So yeah, that event is in a scarily quick amount of time. So
week and a half?
Week and a half. So the lists are all provided beforehand. We sent ours in today. So we should find out everyone else's armies for the event, and then we'll spend a very long time thinking about matchups, and then we'll get to the matchup process and spend not very much time thinking about them before we just start.
We're going to spend a very long time in advance thinking about matchups, to be honest.
I will.
Maybe you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to write down, not Seraphon, please.
I noticed that we'd all written down, this has too many objectives on the things like Feral Foray. None of us want to play those.
Anyone whose army contains more than four models isn't allowed to complain about playing scenarios with six objectives.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah,
get back there and start burning.
it's not necessarily the six armies you'd put together if you want to create an optimal team, but also sod it, you know?
Power of friendship, right?
Power of friendship. And the power of six real good-looking armies as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So, going for team best painted, an award that doesn't exist.
But if it did.
But if it did, we'd get a nom, okay. But not a trophy. Just to rub it in. Yeah, so I think we'll probably keep this episode pretty short and sweet, because I'm guessing next time you hear us will be post-Brotherhood, and it might be a bit of a monster.
Low-energy post-Brotherhood chat. Yeah.
Post-Brotherhood. Yeah, six people have all played five games. That's a lot of yeah. Warhammer.
So. Well, I think contractually we won't be allowed to have Chris or Luke, so no. At least we won't have to talk about all six games every round. I think there's a...
They're not dead to us. We can talk about them with people.
Oh, sorry. Well, you can just say won or loss. Win or lose. Yeah. Did they contribute? Yeah, yeah.
Got the W. Move on. Nothing interesting there.
I found Snakes. It really hard to remember what happened in my own games when I was doing like wrap-ups of Brotherhood and stuff last time. Let alone like how, as a team, we'd done other than vaguely remembering whether like we'd been capped or we'd won the round or you know.
This is what a notebook's for. I'm just going to spend the whole weekend writing.
I am going to do what I forgot to do again this weekend and try and use the Honest Wargamer app, because I think it's pretty good for recording. Games, but I keep forgetting to use it, so
we'll see how we feel, because the Saturday is a 10-hour day
easy.
So by the end of game three we might be flagging somewhat, I imagine.
Rapidly rethinking my desire to have a lot of pints, because over a 10-hour day I'm just gonna feel like shit if I do that.
What you need to do is the Team England, which is consume all of your pints on the night before. And then you use that power to win all of your games on the Saturday.
I thought we were relying on you to drive us to the event, but maybe that's not the case.
I think we can get the train.
Ooh, cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pints are back on the menu.
Yeah. Also, my car is very small. Oh, dear. Yeah. Right, well, I think we've hit the bottom of the barrel. Shall we wrap it up?
It's been 3-2. We should thank our lovely hosts at Tiny Plastic People for hosting us.
You sound like you're saying that under duress. I'm not holding up a gun.
You haven't got a gun.
No. Drew and James, just off camera. Go to tinyplasticpeople.com. Read article. Listen to pod. Send questions to tinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. There you go.
Send questions like, hey, is there a Patreon I could subscribe to? There isn't, but if you keep asking, maybe there will be. I'm joking.
Now, this is an attempt at manifesting. Make it sound like everyone's really keen for a Patreon.
Yeah.
Loads of other people will write in and be like, yeah, that is a good idea.
That is such a good idea.
I feel like with these 2.5 episodes, we've really proved our worth. So,
I think so. I think it's been good stuff.
What about individually? Where can we find you, Matthew?
If people want, I mean, God, I haven't posted on Instagram in so long. I should post on Instagram more, but that would require me to have painted more models than I have. I am on Instagram at 37 Visible Skull, all one word, all spelled out.
Go post that soul render there and then people can go look at it.
I have painted a model.
Yeah, I talked and it's about really it good. Earlier. Yeah.
I'll post it on Instagram. There you go. A little treat. How about you guys?
I am at Scops947 on Twitter and Instagram. And I think I posted something on Instagram today, so it's vaguely up to date.
Well, I'm gonna go and like that right now.
I'm at Rich Nutter on Twitter. Haven't posted any hobby for a while, but I do have a little backlog of things to post. And also at RJ Nutter on Instagram. And I'm just checking, the last time I posted on Instagram was the 26th of March, and it was a photo of my cat. So
that's worth looking at.
There is hobby content on there, so I just don't use it very much because I hate the interface.
It is crap. Yeah. I'm struggling with it right now. Hashtag Iden Athletian.
He is actually doing this right now. So I guess
Warhammer.
The hashtags, I can't deal.
Oh no. Right.
So I guess we might be back sooner than usual if we have a Brotherhood wrap up episode as well.
It depends when we can face it, I guess, but it is
if you never hear from us again.
It's
either 05 or 50, and we've got too big for our boots. So
yeah, one of those two will have happened. Definitely couldn't be anything in the middle.
Seems unlikely, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Bye.